This is Paris.
Hey everyone, I am so excited for these two guests today. We have been working together and doing incredible things and just making a huge difference in the world. And I love both these women so much and respect them so much. And I'm just so excited for this new project we're doing together. It's a new podcast called Trapped in Treatment. And it is all about the troubled teen industry, everything that I went through, other survivors. We have people who have worked in this industry, families, children who have went to these places, people who, you know, have been survivors and in the community for a long time, and just so many incredibly strong and resilient and brave guests. And I want to introduce you to my girls, Rebecca and Caroline. It's so good to see you girls. Caroline, I love your hair. I see that it looks darker.
Thank you. I finally decided to embrace my natural, and I'm like, why have I been damaging my hair with bleach for so long? I'm loving it.
It looks so good. I remember when my sister, she went brunette, and I just loved it. Like, her eyes popped. It looks so beautiful. When I looked over at you now, I was like, oh my God, I love her hair. Brunette, it looks so hot.
Thank you. I love it. It's actually a shampoo. Wow. Right? Like, you would not think that you could get this kind of depth and shine from just like a color shampoo. It's amazing.
Well, looking good.
Maybe Trapped in Treatment is the newest promo for this shampoo. Right?
I was about to say, it's such a warm opening for, you know, obviously a deeper subject.
Right. And let's talk about child abuse now.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Well, thank you so much for having us. We are so excited to be here. We've worked incredibly hard on Trapped in Treatment, and this is such a incredibly worthy cause and issue. And I'm really excited to have more people engage with this issue.
I mean, it's so important, as we've seen, you know, through the survivor community, just making sure that all of their voices are heard. Paris had the most incredible platform to share her own story through the docuseries. And now this is kind of that next step. It's bringing the community closer together and utilizing all of their stories to make an even broader impact.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, what is the troubled teen industry? Like, what does that encompass?
Yeah. So the troubled teen industry started many decades ago, back in like the 60s and 70s. And this was really a time when we had a lot of really backwards ideas about mental health. And, you know, there's this ideology that if we were really tough on these kids and we made their lives really difficult and we made them work really hard, that somehow they would snap out of things like depression or trauma or anxiety, you know, things that now we know better. That ideology has not changed. And so for many decades, we've been putting young people into these tough love behavior modification facilities where they're made to undergo this just like excruciating treatment. And then they come out, of course, traumatized. And we're like, oh, that didn't work. Like, surprise. So the troubled teen industry is a network of facilities all across the United States. And there's even some out of the country. And so what that looks like is boarding schools, ranches, boot camps, wilderness programs. Like, there's just a plethora of different kinds of facilities. And so sometimes parents and even public pipelines like child welfare or juvenile justice will end up placing young people in these facilities for either housing or treatment. But kids can be there for, you know, up to a few years at a time.
Mm-hmm. I also think what's so important to note, Caroline, is that we have this backwards idea of what troubled teens are. They use that term specifically to mislead and misguide parents, which, you know, Paris talks about so much about how Kathy was completely misled in believing that Provo Canyon School or any other type of school like it was going to be a good experience where they have horses and great education and the therapy that a child actually needs. So they actually get ahead of this child abuse because they tell the parents or the public pipelines that they might come from that they're going to say that they're being abused. They're going to say that they're having a terrible experience, but they shouldn't be believed, because that's their way of trying to escape or get out of the particular situation. So in elevating stories, you know, we can make sure that that's not the case.
That's, yeah, it's so true. Like they, anytime if you would say something or you say whatever, they would just be like, oh, they're a manipulator. You're such a manipulator. It's like, no, I'm literally being abused and I'm terrified for my life. Like the fact just to call a child a manipulator and a liar when they know exactly what they're doing is just wrong on so many levels. It just makes me so angry. And I don't know, but just after going through all that when you're a kid, you don't, you have these adults that are supposed to be, you know, looking after you and they're doing the complete opposite. It's really just, it's so hard to comprehend. I don't know. I've just been looking back and thinking now as an adult and just seeing how wrong it was and that this was child abuse and in every way possible.
I think that's such an important point because I know for so many of us, it, like in our community, we have this term that we use where like, when did you wake up? When did you wake up to your trauma or realize that this was abuse that you experienced? And it's almost like even going through an abusive relationship, sometimes in that moment, you don't really realize that what you're experiencing is abuse. And especially as a child, we're taught to listen, we're taught to behave. And especially, you know, in a setting like that, where it's such a high level of control, you want to comply and ultimately you want to go home, right? So you're like, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get out of here. And ultimately that's going with the program. And so it, for many of us, it's not, you know, many years later that we start to realize, wow, that was really horrific. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot to deal with. And I know, you know, in the documentary Paris, you went, you know, into it kind of the, for the first time, really in depth, your experience. So the podcast, how did the podcast in particular come about?
Well, this all came about just from all the work that we've been doing ever since I met Becca. She became my impact producer and we right away went over to Utah and did a huge rally and had hundreds of survivors come. And we were doing this with Breaking Code Silence. And that's how we met Caroline. And just right away, we knew we had the passion for this and we knew we were going to do everything and we weren't going to stop until change was made. And then we went to Washington, D.C. and spoke on Capitol Hill and met with a bunch of legislators and senators. And it's been so much. Like, when I just think about it, and we have so much more to do. And we're going back again. When are we going back, Becca?
Soon for the introduction of the bill, which is date TBD, but we will be in D.C. a lot over this sustained effort. And Paris, I feel like it was kind of that aha moment when we were standing outside of Provo Canyon School and they had, you know, their leadership team at the edge of the driveway and they were just making sure that none of the survivors would get close to the school. But as we were standing out there, I think we realized the magnitude of this issue and how many people from around the country and, you know, possibly around the world had shown up there because this meant something to them. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this podcast, you know, it's going to take us on that really narrative storyline of what is Provo Canyon School? What have they done to the kids? And how do we make change? But, you know, it really is for those survivors primarily.
I think everything you've done has obviously changed a lot of lives already. And you said what's coming up next. Is that part of the ACCA? Is that what you guys are? Is that part of the plan?
Yes. So we knew that we had to do something after the documentary came out that completely activated the entire survivor community. And we all went into like investigative mode. And I think with this issue, and you know, if you're listening, you will absolutely go down the rabbit hole and become sort of like obsessed with putting the pieces together. Like, how is this possible that we can really be torturing kids here in the United States of America, where, you know, we are the most free country and we have all of this ideology? How can this be happening here? How is that legal? And so myself, and like I said, an entire community of survivors, there's thousands of us. We really dug our heels in and started analyzing statute, looking at law, figuring out what are the issues that contributed to this being able to happen. And so from that experience, and also leaning into some really incredible partners that we have in the nonprofit space, like Think of Us and the National Disability Rights Network, we were able to create this really phenomenal piece of legislation that we're really excited about.
This is Paris.
When Paris kind of started this, I think it shocked a lot of people because people don't necessarily assume, you know, Paris Hilton had a rough upbringing, right? And I think when people saw the documentary, it shocked a lot of people. And I know you have other guests come on the show who have also had, you know, some of these experiences. Who has surprised you the most so far? Like, out of your guests, have you heard a story, or is there a person that you were just, you know, kind of blown away by?
We had a guest on the show who reached out to us, and he had attended Provo Canyon School back in the early 80s, and he had never told his story ever. His family did not know. No one ever knew what he had experienced. And so the moment that he turned his mic on and he came into the interview, it was just like this burst that he had been waiting to get this out for a very long time. And you could feel that in the rawness of his emotion in the story. And you could tell it was completely just so cathartic to him to finally, first off, get his story out, but also to be in a space where people understood. I think that's the biggest thing, mm-hmm. is that, you know, how do you describe some of the torture that you went through? A lot of people think it's unbelievable. I've also had a lot of people, when I start to tell them my story, they say, oh, so were you a bad kid? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it, okay, so now I've got to explain to you, no, I wasn't a bad kid, like, blah, blah, blah. And you go through all those details, and it makes it really excruciating. So being in that safe space is so meaningful to us.
For me, I feel like speaking to one of the siblings really changed my perspective of it too, because we've spoken to so many survivors and we better understand that experience, but we haven't had the opportunity to really understand how this affects so many others who are close but not directly impacted by it. And so, you know, we're going to hear from employees and parents and siblings and everybody who touches this issue, you know, outside of just the survivor community. And that is what is also really impactful and also broadens who this podcast is for. Because, you know, it's for those of all ages who don't know about the industry. This is going to educate. It's going to shock you. It's also going to entertain you. You know, it's also obviously for the survivors. It's for parents, and it's for politicians, or kind of those in power who, you know, have the opportunity to take action and actually change this for good.
If someone is a survivor of a behavior modification center, maybe they don't know what to do, who to go to, anything, what advice would you give them?
It depends on the situation. I will say this. If you are a survivor and you feel like you are going through a moment of crisis, I definitely encourage you to reach out for help. Look for either counseling or therapy in your area. You're more than welcome to reach out to our organization. You can find us at unsilenced.org. And I'm sure we can provide that link somewhere. And if you are a family member and coming to terms with maybe sending your child away, or you have a loved one, reach out to our community. We have a really incredible community online of thousands of survivors, and really having that support in space, again, where you are understood, makes a world of difference. We also have a really awesome network of trauma therapists who are also survivors. And so that can make the difference too, when you're going to share about the trauma that you've experienced. Sometimes starting with a therapist who does not know the issue, it can be draining, just even catching them up to speed. Like, okay, so there's these places called the troubled teen industry, and you're having to go through all of that while you're also going through such a raw emotional experience. It can be re-traumatizing. So seeking help with someone who also already has that experience and knowledge is truly therapeutic.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I felt, you know, before I told my story, I just felt so alone. Like, no one is ever going to understand me. Like, if I say this out loud, people are going to think I'm crazy. Like, it just, the things that happened to myself and so many others are just so unbelievable. It's hard to believe that people could really do that to children, but unfortunately it is happening. But my advice too would be just, it's so healing to finally let it out, because I held on to it for over 20 years and I didn't tell my family. I didn't talk to my friends. I didn't tell my sister. I just didn't want to even think that it was real. So I just didn't think about it. But then, you know, after my documentary and to find out that all of this is still happening today, but even on a worse level where they're letting 8-year-olds in, they're bringing in children from the child welfare. There's kids who, you know, their families were trying to escape their countries because they're scared for their lives, and they're being taken away and ripped away from their brothers and sisters and separated, and children, you know, with disabilities who are being treated like, it's just heartbreaking what they are doing to these kids, and kids who are innocent and don't deserve to be treated that way. And I don't know, it just breaks my heart. And that's why I just think it's so important, all the work that we're doing together. And I'm so excited for this podcast. Just listening to the episodes, I was just on my honeymoon and I was laying in bed. I couldn't stop listening to them. You guys are so incredible, and just the stories, and I was crying, and like, just people are really going to just learn so much about this. And that's the whole point of this, is to really get this out there, because people need to know what is happening, like, in their backyards. Like, it's heartbreaking. And what we're doing is making such a difference, and just seeing the community and how everyone is just proud of how brave they are and that they made it. And that's why we're called survivors, because we really did survive something that, you know, some people haven't survived. And this is also for those people who haven't, because a lot of these people, after they leave these places, they're just so traumatized that they don't make it. And they commit suicide. They end up in prison. There's just been so many just heartbreaking stories. So I think just the more awareness that is raised, the better. And I can't wait to go back to Washington, D.C. with you two. This is just, I'm so proud of all of us and this whole community. And I just know that one day Provo Canyon School will be shut down, and a lot of the other ones will be too.
So what are we going to hear in season one of the show?
So when we wrote this season, we wanted to take you through the experience of being admitted and staying in one of these facilities. So we actually walk you through that experience of, before you get sent away, arriving at the facility, going through the intake process, what it's like to live there day in, day out for however many months, and then what life is like afterwards. And so we take you through exactly what it's like to experience that yourself. And Rebecca, if you want to share some of the incredible guests that we had, we really had an amazing roster for this podcast.
Yeah. So to fill out that narrative, we're going to hear from firsthand survivors. We're going to hear stories from parents and relatives who've, you know, been deceived by the marketing, as well as politicians fighting to change laws. We've worked really closely with two of them, Senator McKell and Senator Gelser Bluin from Oregon. And we'll bring them on to really provide kind of that wholehearted look at the industry. Mm-hmm. And we just want to thank you for obviously giving us the platform to be able to do this and to educate and get these stories out there, because it's so meaningful. And that's all because of that spark that you created, you know, for this movement.
It's been the most healing experience of my life. And I've done a lot of things in my life that I'm proud of, but this by far is the thing that I'm most proud of. And I feel that I was meant to come here and do this. And I just feel like the hero that I always needed when I was a little girl trapped in those places.
Well, Trapped in Treatment comes out on January 26th, and we absolutely can't wait for you to listen. Please reach out to us. Let us know your thoughts. If you're a survivor or anyone related to this industry, please let us know your own experience too. We can't wait for you to listen.
We're so excited.
Yes.
Yeah, the trailer is out now, so everyone go give that a listen. Share it with everyone who you think will be interested too, and thank you all for everything you guys are doing. It's really special. And I look forward to connecting after the show's a massive success and we get first dibs on you as guests when everybody's asking. So
Yes, we'll be here.
Lots of loyalty.
Thanks for listening to This is Paris. We love hearing from you. So leave us a review. Send an email to paris@iheartradio.com. Leave a voicemail at 833-87-PARIS. And follow us at This is Paris Podcast. Bye, babes.
Follow Paris at Paris Hilton and follow Hunter March, host of E's Nightly Pop at Hunter March.